Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another installment of the Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I am your host today, Matthew DiMaggio. Today, we are accompanied by Royden Durham, portfolio manager of Aquila Churchill Tax-Free Fund of Kentucky. Thanks for being here today, Roy.
Morning, Matt.
Good morning. So to hit on a big topic here up front, the Fed decided to sit tight on short-term rates earlier this year. Seems like the sentiment might be continuing here moving through the year. What are you thinking and how does it affect how you're managing the portfolio?
Well, this may be a conspiracy theory, but I think the ECB, the European Central Bank, and the Fed are going to cut in concert either in May or June. May seems more likely with the U.S. election on November the 8th, in my opinion. Really, most of the cuts are already baked in, and we are now ebbing and flowing between one statement by a central banker and another. They are jawboning, trying to keep inflation expectations at bay. We continue to buy in the 12 to 15-year range when money is available because that's the positive part of the curve that's sloping upward.
Real thoughtful insight there, Roy, and thank you for that. Talking about a topic that's typically big with municipal investors, which is the municipal-to-treasury ratio, which has been below average for some time. It seems the only part of the yield curve that's high at this point or average is the long end. So what's your take on what's going to have to happen to see a change there?
Well, on March the 8th, the 10-year relationship and the curve, the Treasury to AAA, was about 58.9%. At 15 years, it's quite a bit cheaper at 68% of the curve. At 20 years, it's 75%, and it's 84% at 30 years. We're happy at the 15-year area, which I indicated above, and sell when we get good bids on anything that is shorter. Two things are at work here, I believe. One's the SMA industry is now around $1 to $1.5 billion, and their maturity range is the 5 to 10 year range laddered maturities, with a huge increase in issuance primarily in the short treasury market.
Great insight again, Roy. And since the bottom of the market a few years ago now, we haven't really seen a confident municipal market. What can you say about that?
Well, I'd take issue with that. Munis outperformed in the last quarter of 2023 with the biggest rally in the asset class since 1986. Supply was off last year by maybe 2% nationally, and demand so far in 2024 seems robust, although we've traded off the highs reached in the very late December.
Got it. And since you touched on supply, it may make sense to go down that avenue. I think since the start of the year here, we've seen a little bit of an elevated supply. What will really take to pop in 2024 to get up some of those higher levels?
We don't see any drop in demand. And with current supply ramping up here in the second week of March, the market could be tested. Interesting to note, the Lipper reports cash flows into municipal funds recently, something that's been lacking over the last couple of quarters.
So we talked about supply a little bit here on the national level, but of course the national supply doesn't trickle down evenly to each state. So curious how Kentucky is looking for supply.
So last year, Matt, Kentucky supply July 31 was down over 50%. By year end, it rallied, if you will, and it was up around 15% nationally while supply was down 2%. So far in 24, just 2 months at the end of February, Kentucky issuance was up 436%, while national supply is up 27%. It will probably stay up, too, since we have a huge $650 million Kentucky State Property and Building deal, new money, and some refunding money coming. I think it's going to be mid-April.
Great to hear about Kentucky-specific supply. And while we're on the topic of Kentucky, is there anything interesting happening in the state and local landscape?
Well, as you probably know, the state did not make its numbers economically to reduce the state income tax by 0.5% in 2025. Sir, we're cruising along at 4% for calendar years 24 and 25 for taxpayers, with a new projection to be released, I think, for the 2026 number in October of this year. Otherwise, our Republican plurality holding 80% in the legislature in Frankfurt is coming up with some novel legislation to thwart what they consider to be progressive overreach. My personal favorite is Kentucky becoming a sanctuary state to allow it not to adhere to any of the EPA mandates and the federal government mandates with regard to coal, natural gas, and air pollution. All I can say is not only will this go to the courts, but several of their other legislative efforts will also. Could be really interesting, and surprised it's not part of the national conversation.
All right. And let's close here with our last question by speaking about the Aquila Churchill Tax Refund of Kentucky. Could you tell us about how the fund is currently positioned and how you're managing in this environment?
Yeah, reviewing the fund's metrics recently, I noticed from January 31 of 23 to January 31 of 24 that our average maturity was 7.64 years in 24 and 7.79 years. So our modified duration on those dates was 410, and in 2024, it's a 404. The effective duration was a 427 in 23, and in 24, it's a 426. Amazes me how consistent it has been, which we believe helps mitigate large price swings, even in turbulent markets. With a huge trade-off in the market in 2023 and the subsequent rally, we were really pleased how our local management, intermediate duration, and high quality performed for our shareholders.
Fantastic, Roy. And that sums up our podcast for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And as always, thanks again for joining us, Roy.
Pleasure, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax, referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. Yield refers to the earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the invested amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividends received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020.